Yes? No? Yes? I'm tired. I'm tired. So buckle up for a 45-minute sermon. If you've got a Bible, turn to Isaiah 40. We'll get there in just a minute. As Ricky was leading those songs, I didn't know what songs he was going to lead before I heard them, but I was reminded of something. How many of you remember, I don't even know if he's still alive or not, Ray Walker? Ray Walker. If you don't know who Ray Walker, I don't know if he's still living or not, but Ray Walker was a member of the Jordanaires. They probably most known for being singing backup a lot to Elvis, but the Jordanaires were on who knows how many hundreds of recordings, through the probably 50s and 60s and 70s. But Ray Walker, one of the members of the Jordanaires, was a member of the Church of Christ and a very prominent song leader. And I've heard him lead singing on a few occasions, and one time I heard Brother Walker was leading singing, and he talked between every one of his songs that he would sing. And somebody said, how come you don't ever sing songs that are around what the preacher's going to preach on? He said, well, if I did that, they wouldn't have any need to hear the sermon because I would have already preached it. And I was thinking, Ricky, I don't know if you know this or not, but you preached a sermon to us, those three songs that you led. Those three songs preached a sermon. And so I'm just going to steal his thunder. Is that okay? So he led us in Till the Storm Passes By, which Ricky talked a little bit about that song being his favorite and why it was meaningful to him. And I won't regurgitate that. But clearly that is a song that deals with times of trial, looking for solace in God in times of trial. And then you had the second song, which I believe was on Zion's Glorious Summit Stood, which is clearly a song of praise, acknowledging the greatness of God, acknowledging His power and His majesty, right? And then the third song is Teach Me, Lord, to Wait. By the way, arranged by Gerald Moore, who was, the head of the music department when I was at Lipscomb back in the mid-90s. But that song, Teach Me, Lord, to Wait, is taken, much of that song is taken almost word for word from the last few verses of Isaiah chapter 40, which I believe encapsulates both of those ideas that are in the first two songs. So, Till the Storm Passes By and On Zion's Glorious Summit Stood. And then you've got Teach Me, Lord, to Wait from Isaiah 40. All right, so hold on to that for just a minute, okay? So on Wednesday nights, we've been studying Romans. Most of you guys are in there. And you may or may not remember that before we started Romans 8, which we've been on Romans 8 for 2 weeks now, maybe we'll finish it this week. Third week, no, not a chance. Mike's saying no chance. But I mentioned when I started Romans 8 that Romans 8 is one of those places where I go when I need encouragement. And Lord willing, this week on Wednesday, we're going to get into the meat of what I find encouraging. We kind of hit on that a little bit last week about talking about us being sons of God, about future glory being better than what we're going through now. But anyway, I mentioned that I go to that passage when I need encouragement. Well, Isaiah 40, especially the end of Isaiah 40, is another one of those places that I go to when I need encouragement. Okay? But in a different way. And I'll explain what I mean in just a minute. And when Ricky leading that song, Teach Me, Lord, the Way, reminded me of that passage that I so often need. Because if you go down to about verse 27, correct me if I'm wrong there, he says this. He says, why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Now, the confusing thing about that, if you just pick that verse up off the page, is that Isaiah is speaking about something that's not going to happen for, I think, over 100 years later. He's talking about Babylonian captivity. And that hasn't happened yet. But he's speaking as though it's happening right now. And Isaiah was a prophet, spokesperson for God. He spoke for God. So he's speaking the words of God to the future captives in Babylon. And what are the people doing? They're complaining, right? He refers to them by the names Jacob and Israel, which Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and then the descendants of Jacob were named after him, called the children of Israel, of which the people of Judah were part of that, one of Jacob's sons. But he says, you're complaining. You're saying, God, you can't see what's happening to me. You know, Lord, this is not fair. You're disregarding my rights. And it honestly makes me think of something I might, maybe I don't verbalize it, but something that might be going through my head during times of trial, when the storm passes by. That I tend to think about, this isn't fair, this isn't right, this isn't just. Whatever's happening to me, whatever I'm going through in the moment, I'm thinking, why me? Why am I going through this? Why do I have to deal with this? And I sound just like what Isaiah is saying that the people of Judah are sounding like, right? And sometimes the encouragement that I need is less, hey, it's going to be okay. Sometimes I need to be shaken, like, get a hold of yourself, right? And that's what Isaiah, speaking for God, does here in the next few verses. Okay, the first thing he does is he says, he reminds them after they're complaining, and I'm thinking, when I'm complaining and I'm saying it's not fair, it's not right, it's not just, Lord, can't you see what I'm going through? They're complaining in the same way, and Isaiah reminds them first of the power of God. Okay, he says, have you not known? Have you not heard? This is verse 28, right? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. And we were singing Zion's glory at Summit Stood, a song of praise to God. Here Isaiah is saying, look at the power of the God that you serve. Don't you remember? I mean, you're going, woe is me. Don't you remember? I mean, he addresses him as the Lord. Look in your Bible. See if it's not uppercase L and then small caps O-R-D. That means that that's the name Yahweh, the one and only true living God. And then he refers to him as the everlasting God, meaning he is a God that is infinite. He knows no beginning or end. I believe that three times in the book of Revelation, John records him, God or Jesus, being referred to as the what? The Alpha and the Omega, using the beginning and ending of the Greek alphabet. As a way to say, he is forever. He is the beginning and the end. He has no boundaries. He is everlasting, right? The everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He has created everything that has ever been created, meaning that he is the authority. He is in control. He's in charge. He says he does not faint or grow weary. He's unwearied. He doesn't get tired. I get tired. I'm tired right now. Many of you are tired because I can see the eyelids drooping. You're tired. He doesn't get tired. He's unwearied. And then he says his understanding is unsearchable. God is beyond our finite, limited human understanding. All of those characteristics that Isaiah says, hey, remember who your God is, okay? That's the power he's reminding them of. Now, in the next verse, keep track of me, we're 29, right? 29, the next verse, there's a promise that's associated with that power. He says, to the faint, he gives strength, and to the weary, he increases might. I may have those backwards. Something like that. Okay. But that's a promise. He says, not only is there this infinite source of power, but guess what? It's available to you. It's available to you. That's the promise. Okay? That's the promise. So we don't just have a God who's worthy of glory. We have a God who's worthy of glory who gives us strength and power. We We have access to that power. But the next verse, it's verse 30, right? The next verse in verse 30, there's a problem. Okay? There's a problem. He says, even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men will fall exhausted. What does that mean? Well, who were the youths, the young men? They're the strongest, the most full of life of the people on this earth, right? They're the ones that have all the strength, all the endurance, all the physical power, all the vitality of life. But what does he say? Even they will fall exhausted. Even they're going to be faint. Even they're going to grow weary. Sounds kind of like what Paul says in Romans, right? No matter how much weight you place on yourself, no matter how much you try, you're always going to fall short, right? No matter what, if you rely on yourself, you're going to fall short. Well, how do I know if I'm doing that? We'll go back to verse 27 where they're going, My way is hidden from the Lord. My right is disregarded by my God. What does that mean? It's all about me, right? He says, if it's all about you, you're going to fall exhausted. You're going to fall exhausted. Now, here's where that third hymn comes in. It comes from the last verse, verse 31. But, now here's the prescription. You follow me, the four P's? Prescription, right? The prescription. But, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That stands in contrast to the youths and the young men who fall exhausted, right? What's the difference? The difference, he says, is waiting on the Lord. You mean the one who is the ultimate source of power, the one who is greater than us in every conceivable way. You have to wait on him. Well, what does that mean? Well, part of that song talks about putting aside your pride and calling on the Lord. That's another way of saying what we've been saying for weeks in our study of Peter, in our study of 1 John, in our study of the Sermon on the Mount, in our study of the I Am statements. It's all about a choice, right? As I heard a preacher say one time, that we tend to think of faith as this religious concept, but it's really a human concept. Because everybody has to put their weight on something. And the human instinct is to put the weight on ourselves. And that's where he says, if you make that choice, you're going to fall exhausted. But if instead you put your weight on God, which is, I'm using W-E-A-E-I-G-H-T, but that is a way in which we, W-A-I-T, on God, meaning we are putting our faith in Him, we are relying on Him, we are waiting on Him. Waiting for someone else is the opposite of faith in self, right? Wait on God. Who are the ones who are going to receive the strength? The faint and the weary are going to receive the strength. The ones who put God first. And sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm going through the storms of life, I need someone or the Scripture, Spirit through the Word, to shake me and go, don't you remember who you serve? You serve the God who spoke all of this into existence. You serve the God who rescued you from certain death. You serve the God who is the one who, Paul said, it's through Him, His Son, who strengthens me that I can be content in every situation. I have access to that power. I need to be reminded of that. And Ricky, through those three songs, reminded me of that. And I thought, I'll just preach the same sermon that Ricky just preached, if you guys agree with that. Okay? But it all comes down to a choice. Okay? It all comes down to a choice. As I've said many times, Scripture, nowhere that I have found in Scripture does it say at any point that choosing God makes the suffering of this life any easier to deal with. Not easier, but doesn't make the suffering go away. We don't have less suffering because we choose God. But what we do have is access to power and strength to deal with that others do not have. And I need to be reminded of that. If you're here tonight, if you're here this afternoon, I know we've already offered the invitation once, we'll offer it again. If you're here this afternoon and you've never made the decision to put your weight on God. W-E-I-G-H-T. To wait on Him, W-A-I-T. Because you make Him first. We encourage you to do that this afternoon. If there's anything else we can do for you, please come while Ricky leads us in our invitation song.